It's WSN's podcast, The Three Wise Men. I'm Danny Holbrook, alongside Miles Holiday and Nate Garlock. Gentlemen, high school football is out of the way, and we are on to high school basketball.
Yeah, I mean, epic football season, right? All sorts of big things that happened, records. We saw all sorts of great things. You know, all-state teams are being announced, all sorts of stuff happening. And that's right back onto the hardwood. We've seen some impressive performances through the first week and a half or so. Can't wait.
Yeah, what a shocking end to the football season with Marion Local.
Did anybody see that coming?
It was shocking. The MAC doing really well with Coldwater winning one. Shocking stuff. But, yeah, I'm going to miss football. It was a great season. But basketball is absolutely fantastic, and we're going to have so many great endings where Danny's octaves are going to keep climbing, and we're going to have those great moments that we always have.
Yeah, and I enjoy that, so get ready. Get used to it. Good, it's good for three. All right, guys, let's do the Diamond Dave Bowen best thing we saw all week. Miles, let's start with you. You got a pretty good one here.
Yeah, Randy Roberts and I were at the Van Wert Wayne Trace game last Saturday, and it's always great to go to the Palace, but Van Wert is going to be fantastic. Maybe not right now, but later in the year they will, but next year and the year after, they're going to be really good. They jumped out to an 11-0 lead in that basketball game. Wayne Trace looked like they were just befuddled. Jim Linder, who we always talk about, what a great coach. He called timeout, down 11-0, and you thought that, well, this is going to be a moment where he just goes and chews into the kids. No, it really wasn't that way. He just kind of calmed them down, and then they changed everything that they were doing philosophically in that game. They went to a matchup zone, and they came back from an 11-0 deficit and wound up winning that basketball game when it looked like for sure that Van Wert was going to run away from it. That just shows you what a special coach Jim Linder is.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, for me, on this past Friday night, I was over in Spencerville for Spencerville Elida, and it was
that
Wilson.
Was you.
And I thought I recognized you. Sorry, I didn't mean to knock you in the head when I walked by.
He big-timed me.
he big-timed me all the time, yeah.
Him and Frank Kill, you know how they are.
But it was Will Sensible and the performance that he put on against that Elida Bulldog team. He had 28 points, 8 of 12 from the free throw line, 2 of 4 from three-point line. He had 3 assists, 2 steals. He had a block, did absolutely everything. Sophomore is doing fantastic.
Against really good guards, too.
I mean, he never hesitated to go into the lane. Parker Krim waiting in there for him. Didn't shy away from any of that. Took that team onto his shoulders, and he showed why he is going to be so special. Mm-hmm. And again, the fact that he's just a sophomore putting up a career night like that it's fantastic.
Guys, I watched him last year go against Ottawa Glandorf senior guards, and he didn't back down at all. In the district finals, I said it, and I know it makes people from Delphus upset. It's the best backcourt in the area. I really believe so. With Sensible.
And you're talking Don't spoil it.
We'll argue about that later.
That's right. That's my way of preview. Teasing a little bit.
Teasing the audience.
Guys, for me, it was the Coldwater community this weekend. Man alive. They just came out, supported this team. And not only that, what they went through this year with losing a teammate. I had a great chance to talk with Chip Otten on the radio this week. And just to hear him talk about this young man and how the players responded and the things that they went through as a community. They went out to the cemetery before the game and that kind of stuff. And they I just can't imagine what those kids had to go through. And, you know, I've lost family members, and it really rocks you to the core. When you're lose a 17, 18-year-old kid, and it's way too early, and then you have to play a football season without your buddy there, and the resiliency of that community, and the way they beat Kirtland. We talked about that last week. That's a great, great program. They don't beat them. They pounded them 31-7.
They dominated them.
I thought it was really special, too. Coach Otten, when we were talking to him, I was there with you on the radio that day. That was me.
Yes.
You guys are awesome, by the way.
You're a big part of that.
I thought it was really eye-opening, though, that he shared with us on the radio that kids from the football team all season long went and visited and go over to the house and visit with mom to make sure she's doing okay. That speaks amazing things about that community.
Well, you know, and going through something like that, no matter what, at the end of the day, you're talking about teenagers and you're talking about kids, and that is a crushing weight on a small community, and it would have crumbled, you know, weaker teams, and you know, even really good teams wouldn't have been able to handle that. And for Coach Otten and all those coaches coaches and faculty and community to keep those kids up and for those kids to be able to rise to this occasion. It's easy to say that we're going to do something for, you know, a friend that we lost or someone that we cared about. It's another thing to actually be able to do it, and it was really impressive to see him do that.
Now, this is a team, too, guys. Remember, they got beat by Marion Local the last game of the year, came back in the playoffs, scored 50, 45, 40. I mean, they just rolled through the playoffs.
Turns out Marion Local might have been good at football, guys.
Yeah. What a conference. But real quick, to piggyback on Nate's point, going back to Sensiball, I thought it was awesome, too, that he's a sophomore guard, right? And at the end of the game, when Alada had to foul, sometimes guys want to get away from that, right? What did he do in that game, Nate? He went and got basketball,
there
right?
There was no shying away from that. That's
why he wanted to be fouled.
Like I said, 8 of 12 from the free throw line, and a lot of those were late in that game. Yeah. I mean, they were game ceiling type ones. It was only a 4.1. They won 64-60. They needed all of that from him, and he came up really big.
Yeah, they're special players. All right, guys, talking about basketball, let's get right into it. Let's talk about the WSN Basketball Games of the Week. We're going to start out with a girls' contest. Nate Garlock, you're on the call with Kelsey Beimer. Mm-hmm. Shawnee Elida. Shawnee comes in at 1-4. Their only win is over Waynesfield Goshen. And Elida comes in. They've won 3 in a row with wins over Spencerville, Van Wert, and Kalida. So they're on a little bit of a roll.
Yeah, so a big WBL matchup this week. Shawnee falling on some hard times this year. They've been on the wrong end of some pretty lopsided scores. The offense is struggling, but they're coming off of a win. They just knocked off New Knoxville, and you know, to pick up their second win of the season. Now they scored 69 points in that one. Really, you know, maybe be a catalyst to get that offense going, right? On the other side, you got an Elida Bulldog team that started off really rough, 0-3, but they've won 4 straight, trying to keep that going. They're being led by a sophomore right now, Lily Siffert, 16 points a game. She's getting 3.5 rebounds a game as well, just as a sophomore, doing a lot of that heavy lifting for that Elida team that's playing really good defense right now. They've only allowed 50 points one time in all 7 of their games. They're playing really good basketball right now. You know, it might be a rough time for Shawnee to be going up against them.
I think it's hilarious how we've had Shawnee kids on this show and Elida kids, and when you ask them who do they want to beat, they always say that's an underrated rivalry. Yes, Shawnee and Elida is cutthroat.
Now, correct me if wrong, Elida got a win last night too, didn't they?
I did not see that.
I thought they got a win last night.
They may have.
Okay. Yeah, the updated stuff that I saw, it was they showed them 4-3. But
4-3.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
So 4-3. Yeah, 4-3.
We'll go with 4-3.
Yeah. Sorry. I usually tune him out when he talks. Yeah, I didn't hear what he said.
Most of the time,
they had won. They've won 4 straight. Yeah.
All right. So I was wrong. All right. Get that on camera, please.
But it's a team, Elida, as you pointed out, they have some big post players. So 5'10", 5'8", in the post.
Speaking of girls basketball.
If they can rebound and play good defense, they'll stay in that game. But Shawnee, would they have 10 points against Columbus Grove? They've struggled at times. Yep. You got to believe if they're going to win this one, Morgan Betts, who's really good ball player for them, is going to have a big game.
Yeah.
Game two, guys. Randy Roberts, our own Miles Holiday here. Crestview at Spencerville. Crestview comes in 2-2. They lost that heartbreaker to Shawnee. Spencerville 3-0. Best backcourt in Northwest Ohio. We'll talk about that later. Guys, there are 3 teams in the Northwest Conference, Crestview, Spencerville, and Bluffton, that I have at the top of the ladder on everybody's board. Yeah. I think they are unequivocally the best 3 teams in the league. Why is this game week 3? Like, right?
I'm not putting
bad about the people that schedule these games, but this would be a great mid-February game because going to be fantastic.
It's kind of the old classic battle, good backcourt against a big front court, right? Mm-hmm. You got the Sheets brothers.
Well, Crestview's got some good guards too.
They do. But, I mean, if Crestview's going to win, they're going to have to dominate the paint, right? And they can do that with Ren Sheets. Mm-hmm. He's got 12 offensive rebounds already this year, which is absolutely amazing. He gets a lot of second point opportunities. Now, Ren and Will. Now, here's the amazing thing about them. For all the rebounds that Crestview gets, 40% of all the rebounds have come from the Sheets family.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. Right. Make sure they're on the bus when you go to a game, right?
Right. Yeah.
12 turnovers a game, though, right now. They're going to have to do a better job correcting that, because if they turn the ball over a great deal against Spencerville, I think Spencerville wins this one.
Yeah, you know, Ren Sheets averaging over 20 a game here in this early going. He's been an absolute monster for them on the inside. They got to start getting a little bit more help from the rest of that team. You know, I think you saw that in that matchup against Shawnee, where they had Shawnee, but they got to have somebody else else be able to score the basketball in that one. They end up losing that one by just a point late in that game. On the other side, Spencerville playing fantastic. They got that three-headed monster over there between, you know, Will Owen and Sensabaugh, and then you got Carter Orr. They've all are just rotating career games at this point. Yes, we talked about Will Sensabaugh and what he did against Elida. Carter Orr the very next night goes out and puts up 24. He has a career night. So they can score inside. They can score outside. They can do it with their bigs. They can do it with guards. This is a very complete Spencerville team, and a team that I think a lot of people have thought this is a program that's been trying to culminate a rise, and they've been running into an OG Titan team over the last couple of years. Right. And it's kind of been that brick wall for them. Well, that brick wall is not there this year. And so is this, you know, are we watching the kind of the final stages of that rise to get them to that next level? The way that they're looking here in the early season, I think so.
Yeah, it looked real impressive. Yeah. It was like early season last week when they played Elida. One thing that was concerning, though, Carter Orr fouled out against Elida.
Yep.
He cannot foul out in this basketball game against Crestview because then Crestview will just have a field day inside.
We have awards to give out tonight, but is there another award I can give, the Karate Kid Award, to Kevin Sensabaugh? The guy never ages. He's Ralph Macchio. He's 20 years. He looks like he's 21 years old. Yeah. I love Kevin Sensabaugh. I think he's a fantastic coach, and he stays young all the time.
One last thing about Will Sensabaugh. Do you guys see his field goal percentage?
No.
68% from the floor so far.
Jeez. And he's doing it at the rim.
You guys are making my case.
They're shooting 48% as a team overall.
Guys, game three, Nate Garlock, Dar Nevergall, our own Burt Reynolds, our celebrity here at WSN, Elida Shawnee. Guys, listen to this. Elida has played Spencerville, Delvis St. John's, LCC. They got a win over Bath. They got to play Shawnee. I keep saying this. This is a good Elida team, and their record doesn't indicate it. They're going to be a tough out in March. They really are.
It has to be the toughest
six-game stretch
for any team in this area. I mean, it is absolutely brutal. They get no nights off, and they've been in a lot of these games. You know, they took a little bit of a hit last week. That was a grinding game. We've talked about it a lot, that Spencerville game.
Sure has.
They were in that one. It was a back-and-forth battle. They battled back. And then, you know, they go the next night and they got to play a St. John's team and they just couldn't hang with them. I think
12 threes by DSJ.
Yeah. And you're seeing that back to back. Leaving Spencerville, as I walked out, I walked through the Elida team. They were down in that hallway waiting to go.
Talking trash.
You could just tell that they were exhausted. That loss hurt them.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you saw the kind of the remnants of that on Saturday night against Delphus St. John's. But this is a good team right now. The biggest issue is that they haven't all been able to be on the same time. Right. It's been either Zori Island or it's been Amari Walsh that has been on. They haven't been able. And Marcus Hill had a good opening night as well. But they haven't been able to get everybody going at the same time. Once they do, this is a really good team that can play with anybody in this area. They know how to score. They are fast. They have great guard play. They just all have to be able to be consistent. So they're dangerous. And I think that was the issue that we saw against Spencerville in that loss. You know, Zori Island finally started to wake up because he'd gotten off to a rough start. He had a nice game, but then Amari Walsh fell back a little bit. And then the next night, Zori goes for 20, but Amari wasn't able to go with him, and neither was anybody else. So they need Zori and Amari to be able to be on at the same time in order to be successful.
Yeah, I thought Spencerville did a great job of keeping a hand in front of Amari Walsh. Remember early in that game, he'd had five chances inside the key, but there's always a hand in front of him, right? They made it difficult for him to score. Nate, I'm not sure if Elida is going to be a great half-court offense team. I think for them to score, they ran some 2-2-1 in that game. I think that's what they need to do moving forward. I think they're going to get their points by transition baskets, defense into offense, because when they broke down into a half court, it's like four guys just wait for Zori or Amari. Okay, which one of you guys is going to drive or which one is going to shoot?
Well, and they got a really good three-point shooter in Altenbach as
well. He was fantastic.
He hit four threes in that game, but the only way that he's usually able to get open, they're not running things for him to be able to come off and catch and shoot. They got to do that stuff in transition. He's left open, and if he has space and can set his feet, very, very good shooter. But like you said, in the half court, that's just not happening right now for that Bulldog team.
I would not want to be a post player for them right now who's working hard in the low block, and they've got the guy pinned because the guards are like, yeah, I see you, and then they kick it around.
You know,
feed the post once in a while.
Well, and on the other side of it for Shawnee, right now, you know, they've been in, I think, a lot closer games than they thought they were going to be in. You know, LCC really gave them a test. That's their one loss this season. They get in the one-point game against Crestview. They still haven't quite hit their stride yet. You know, they're still moving some people.
Still early.
And they're still putting new pieces in, you know, with Jagger Hutchins coming into that team and getting him and finding out the rotation and working guys in. Tate Benders looked fantastic here to begin the season. But, you know, everybody coming in, it was, you know, we know about the Berkey brothers, right? But it was Beckett. It was, you know, Beckett was the focal point. Well, Trevick has outplayed him. He is averaging more. He is averaging more points a game. He's getting more rebounds a game. He has more. He has more assists. He has been playing fantastic. Beckett's had a little bit of foul trouble in a couple of games as well. Trevick is doing a great job. Another one of those incredible sophomores in this area that is really a standout player. And once Beckett finds that groove as well, because we know all the attention, where it's going, teams are going to start, you know, honing in on him. Trevick's getting his, you know, Jagger gets more comfortable in this offense and his role with that team. Tate Bender continues to grow. Damola Ojo, he's been in that starting five as well. Some other guys, Caleb Miller coming back into the fold on that program. There's still a lot for Shawnee to work through. They're winning games right now. They still look really good. That's a team that's only going to get better. But this is a rivalry game. Yeah. They avoided each other in the tip-off, and so now they get to see each other for the first time. This is a big game.
I can promise you this, that Mark Triplett, who has a size advantage, and he knows he has a size advantage, but everybody knows the best post defense starts with perimeter defense, on-ball defense. He's going to have his guards pushing out top, and he's going to not let that ball come to the middle. He's going to force everything on the outside and push him off the line. This is going to be a good game. Yeah. I really think it is. Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, you know, everybody's talking about Shawnee not doing what everybody thought Shawnee would do, kind of struggling a little bit, still winning basketball games.
Absolutely.
They're shooting 34% from behind the arc. So that's a pretty good indicator that they're going to explode eventually.
Yeah.
Guys, we talked about Crestview-Spencerville being an early season battle for the Northwest Conference. Game four, Dave Bowen and Jack McGuire, Delphi St. John's at Minster. It doesn't get any bigger than this in the MAC. Mm. I wish this game was in late February. You've got Delphi St. John's, obviously the Elwer connection, the law firm of Elwer, and you've got Minster with dare I say it,
Brogan Steffi,
James Niemeyer, Coleridge. I mean, they're like,
is that restraining order kicked in yet? Jeez.
What's your thoughts on this game, guys?
Well, first of all, there's more Elwers in the Delphus area than there are Dollar Generals in the South, right? They just keep popping up everywhere.
I like Dollar General.
Look, 12 threes last week, right, against Elida. That's just absolutely absurd. DSJ can light it up from behind the arc. But, do they have a deficiency in the post? We don't know yet, right?
Well, I think if you look at them as a whole, you know, the size does matter to them, and they don't have a lot of size. Guys, I remember the first time I ever got to see Cam Elwer play as a freshman, and everybody kept saying, I got to see this kid, you got to see. Well, I got assigned a game, and I went over there, and I did this. My mouth was open, and I'm like, this kid is, I've never seen anything like this. He gets to the rim so effortless. Yeah. This kid's going to shoot 12 to 15 free throws a game. Yep. He knocks down jumpers. He is an absolute leader. He's pulling guys aside. This is a complete player.
All right, Danny. Yeah. You're playing it on the playground, right?
Yeah.
And you got first pick. And there's Brogan Steffi on the line. There's Cam Elwer on the line. And you're going to pick one of them. And he's going to join your team. Which one are you picking right now?
Are we playing football too? Because I'd probably take Brogan Steffi. But if I'm taking just basketball, Cam Elwer.
Okay.
Yeah. And Brogan Steffi is a fantastic guard.
Here we go. We're going to mess him up on this
one. I know it.
All right.
Cam Elwer or Will Sensabaugh?
I'm taking Will Sensabaugh. and I love Cam Elwer. Guys, I do. There's just something about Will. You said it. He's fearless.
How many restraining orders can one man have?
Four.
It's unbelievable.
I'm just throwing that out.
Mr. Holbrook, good to see you in here again. All right, give us a quick little synopsis, a little scouting report. What makes Brogan Steffi so good on the floor?
Well, he understands the game. He's a quarterback, Miles. He knows what to expect. He can read defenses. He can break you down. He can get you into his problem over his career. We know what it is. It's injuries.
He's been hurt a lot.
He is so athletic and so good, and he's got other good guards on that team. He's got post players he can get the ball to, and he's a leader. That's what he is first and foremost. This kid wants to win. I love his game. I really do.
So here's my issue with this game. And you know, you talked about it being this early season matchup in the MAC, and we wish it was later. And I agree with you 100%. But for different reasons a little bit, St. John's and Minster are not going to look anything close to the teams that they are right now in 2 months because they're still coming back from football.
Yeah.
And these guys are not in basketball shape yet. They haven't been together very long. This is not almost not a fair matchup, because if this does end up coming to play for that MAC title and you look at, well, we lost that game back then, you're not really going to get a true sense of what maybe the better team is because this isn't going to be the Minster team and the Delphi St. John's team that'll play in late January or early February. You know, Minster just 1-0, only their second game of the season.
Yeah,
they, you know, they are still figuring a lot of stuff out. And this St. John's team offensively is so dynamic. Over 70 points a game in their first three. I don't think it matters that they may be weak in the post, because that's not how they play. They pull you out so far so they could just drive around you and get to, and there's enough space, and those guys are so good from inside 10 feet. I don't know that they need anybody in the post doing some of that dirty work, because they got guys who are going to constantly be cutting. They're still around the rim without even having a post position.
Tell me this, guys.
Sure.
Coach Elwer, would you absolutely love to play for this guy? He is old school. You can tell the love he has for those kids, but man alive, does he get after it.
Oh,
man. Not only that, I love how he goes after
referees.
It's
different when you yell at your family.
I know, but you're right. But you can see the passion in this guy. I love watching this team. St. John's, man, they're just fun.
Nate, who do you think has the advantage then? Because Brogan Steffi, as you said, just finished up football, right? Mm-hmm. Cam Elwer didn't play football.
Yeah.
So you think that gives the advantage to DSK? 100%.
And Cam Elwer is one of those guys too, because of how good he is and the attention that he gets and his trajectory, you know, even coming off of the injury. This is a kid who has been playing basketball and been in the gym since last season ended, and he was healthy enough to do so. So he is so far ahead of where Brogan Steffi and some of these other guys would be just by the fact that he hasn't had a fall sport to where he's been playing basketball.
I had a guy tell me today, he said, watch Minster play Friday night, and he said, their bugaboo's not offense. They got great offensive players. He said, they're still in football mode, and it's their defense that they got to really work hard on. He said, just moving side to side. They got size. Look at their size. They're 6'8", 6'4", across the front line. Their guards are fantastic. They return a ton of kids. It's defenses. You're right. They're not going to be the same in a couple of years.
Danny, one-on-one, Elwer versus Steffi. Who wins?
Elwer.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Because he gets to the rim and he gets to the line, and he's phenomenal.
All right. So Elwer's going to have over 30 or under 30?
Oh, over.
He averages, yeah.
Over 30?
Yeah. I mean, first three games, it's been 39, 30, and 24.
41, remember?
Oh, 41, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
He'll have 34.
34?
He'll have 34 and he'll have 12 at the line.
Steffi will have how many?
Steffi will have 21.
21, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And I don't know who will win the game, but...
All right. Yeah. Are you keeping a running total of everything that every player that Danny 100%. Absolutely loves?
I got to go to the back page now. Let's start the new list.
You make fun of me, but I'm telling you, I get excited.
No, we don't.
Guys, game five is a big one in some circles. Mark Schein, Jerry Snodgrass, Toledo Scott, Lima Sr. Gentlemen, the Spartans went down last night to Toledo Whitmer. No shame in that. That's a regional final team. A Division I school. Yep. They got two kids going D1, one going to BGSU, one going to Purdue. Not a bad loss by senior high, but I think it may have shook senior high a little bit because there's a lot of people, including myself, didn't know that they'd stumble this early.
I thought, Nate, that it was impressive that they played good defense. You know, that was one of those games that about 4 minutes left could have went either way, but they did a good enough job defensively, got Whitmer in a little bit of foul trouble, and just at the end didn't make enough free throws.
Yeah, I mean, back and forth battle against a really good Whitmer team. You know, there's a lot of built-in excuses, right? For, you know, it's a Tuesday night, a long travel game, early in the season. But the thing that I think with Lima Senior is, people forget how young this team is that they're putting on the floor. There is talent galore on that court.
There was a ton of D1 kids last night on the floor.
Yeah,
both teams.
But it is a young, talented team. Now, Jaquel Cotton is the senior on that team. I mean, a fantastic athlete, fantastic player coming back from injury. But surrounding him is a lot of guys who they have varsity minutes, but they're still young. And young players still have to work through things. You have to get that experience, and you only get that on the floor. Games like last night are only going to help Lima Senior.
Absolutely.
The expectations for this team is through the roof. But thinking that this was going to be a team like we saw a couple of years ago from Lima Senior when Xavier Simpson was in town, and they go undefeated, and they run through everybody, and you know their only blemishes in that state final, I think was an unrealistic expectation. And the fact that there's going to be stumbling blocks with young players. I mean, you're talking about a handful of sophomores on that team, a couple of juniors. You got guys who are very young contributing a lot, and they're expecting a lot. You know, Coach Q, who's got a lot on his hands with trying to juggle all of that, keeping everybody focused, keeping everybody grounded. You know, kids are also kids. It doesn't matter what team you're on. They know how to work social media. They know where the recruitment stuff is coming from. They know where to read their headlines, you know, and these kids, they're talented. You know, I mean, they are getting the accolades that they deserve. But if you're a head coach trying to manage that and keeping everybody level headed and saying, hey, listen, all this stuff is great, but we got to go earn it on the court first, sometimes can be challenging, especially in a long season like basketball.
Now, with all that being said, you're my Toledo area basketball expert.
Yeah.
What's the over under on how bad they're going to beat Scott?
Okay, so
I love
the days of Ben Williams coaching Scott, long, long ago. This is not your granddad Scott basketball program anymore. Did win two in a row against GRA and Mount Clemens, which is a good thing, right? So they're even up. But
and when just you say look, it.
They got absolutely obliterated by Start, and Start it might be the second best team in the city league.
Yeah,
and they got blown out by Maumee Valley Country Day, 66-40. I don't think this is going to be much of a problem for Senior, but I do want to touch a couple things on Senior. Do you guys follow Beantown Basketball on Facebook?
Do you
follow that? Did you see the videos of the Bounce Brothers at practice trying to duplicate NBA dunks?
Yes.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
The talent that they have on the floor is ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
How many D1 kids were on the floor last night? You know, two for, you know, for Toledo, and who knows how many for Lima City.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be multiple for Lima City.
So, yeah, I kind of feel bad for Coach Q a little bit trying to keep kids humble. And, yeah, I can imagine being 16 years old and being able to jump out of the gym and dunk Michael Jordan or LeBron.
I get excited if I can touch the bottom of the net, let alone if I can do, like, all these fans. Yeah.
Like, what's Coach talking about? He can't do this.
Guys, game six, Randy Robertson, you. Miles Holiday, you got another great one. Crestview at Wayne Trace. Crestview 2-2. Wayne Trace 3-1. Their only losses to Bryan. Miles, what makes Wayne Trace so special? This is a rivalry game too, really. When you look at it, these two teams play each other every year. What does Jimmy Linder do? I mean, they win every year.
It's community standard, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't shoot the basketball and you can't handle the basketball,
you
do not play at Wayne Trace, right? Yeah. It is amazing how many guys year in year out can shoot, and guys that know they can shoot, and the guys that can't shoot know that they shouldn't shoot, right?
So they don't shoot.
So when you look at it and say, man, they shoot a great percentage from behind the arc. Well, it's because the guys that should be shooting it are the ones that are shooting.
And the guys that aren't shooting, they'd stand out there and they know that I'm supposed to shoot.
Caden Sin, 42%. I mean, it's just one of those things, a genetic trait in the Sin family.
Yeah.
There's another Sin that can fill it up from behind the arc. Tanner Lockoff at 38%, Gerber at 37%, and Brady Miller at 33%. That's early season. That's fantastic numbers for guys that are perimeter players. But a guy that I want to touch on, Carter Clemens, if you have not seen this young kid play, he's a 6'3 junior for Wayne Trace, and he is just nothing but puppy energy. He is just running around nonstop, getting to the ball, harassing anyone that's trying to get a rebound. He is the guy that does everything for them inside. He'll defend, run sheets, and he'll do a great job for them. It's going to be a great matchup because we know Crestview, what they love to do inside, and we know Wayne Trace, what they love to do on the perimeter.
Well, and I mean, what about that defense from Wayne Trace, though? We talk about the offense.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about that game against Van Wert. Well, what allowed them to come back from that 11-point deficit? They're down 11-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
They only gave up 28 points rest of the game. They held a Van Wert team that put 70 on Delphus St. John's to 39 points. They play fantastic defense over there.
Yep.
Very disciplined, and obviously, you know, didn't get rattled when they went down. You know, continue doing what they're doing, made great adjustments. So that not just is the offense and everything they can do on that side of the ball defensively. I mean, they are just another level right now early in the season. And when you go up against a defense that's good early in the season, it's even more frustrating than later because you're still trying to figure things out, right? You're expecting hiccups and you know, you can find, you know, open lanes and things like that because you know, we're early. Those are right. the mistakes that are supposed to be seen. And Wayne Trace right now isn't making those.
I'm always amazed at what they can do defensively. You know, normally there was, remember they had Brooks Lockoff, and it was giant hands out front in front of the 2-2-1 or the 1-2-2. They went to the matchup zone just out of nowhere last week. I saw them run a triangle and two against Antwerp a couple years ago. So Jim Linder, he's going to scheme you, and he's going to figure out. Now, they went to that matchup zone last week, and it was fantastic because it took Crummy out of the basketball game. The big 6'6 freshman for Van Wert. By the way, he had a dunk in that game.
I saw it.
Oh, my Lord.
Who's gushing now, pal? Where's the restraining orders on Miles?
Build my list.
He said one thing.
His dad played college football, Miles.
So we saw Diamond Dave Bowen after the game, Randy Robertson and I did, and Dave was doing the game for My Sports Live, yeah, right? Yeah. And we said to him at halftime, I said, Dave, man, we got in trouble. What? And he goes, turns out it's Crumé. It's a French pronunciation.
Oh, no.
The mom came up and started yelling at us. And it's actually
Dave
Crumé. Dave goes, no, I know his dad is Crummy. So I couldn't get Dave on that one.
Real quick, guys, bigger gym, Wayne Trace or Light of Fieldhouse?
Ooh.
I mean, Wayne Trace is a huge gym.
It is, John. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Man. That's, I don't know.
I mean,
I would think the Fieldhouse.
Well, I would say the Fieldhouse more seating, but I don't know if it's bigger than Wayne Trace's gym.
I think spacious-wise, yeah. Wayne Trace, it's a tough shooting environment if you're not used to it. Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right, guys, game seven, Otterville and Spencerville. Look, you talk about Spencerville all the time, and we know what they can do. Otterville, really good program in its own right. Keith Utendorf does a great job over there. They've got some really nice players. This will be a good game.
I did this game last year, and Spencerville kind of stole it, and that was really like the springboard for them. They started to play really good basketball after that. It was a game that was dominated by Otterville early, but then the guard play for Spencerville took over and able to steal it last year. I do like Keith Upendorf, though. He is a fantastic basketball coach.
I like interviewing him. He's the best, man. He's great.
Right? Yeah. And Carter Cracks at 6'4". I think if they get them going, they're going to run some motion sets, and they're going to be patient offensively, and they're going to wear you down. If they can do that against Spencerville, they'll have a chance. But how do you go against the Sensiballs, right? How do you do that?
Well, and so looking at this game, you know, I kind of thought the same thing going in. All right, it's probably going to be Spencerville, but Otterville has a rich tradition. You know, they always are coached well. They play well. And then I started looking, and that loss to Bath, that's got to be the biggest loss or biggest surprise loss of this season so far.
52.
Losing. Yeah. So that gives me, you know, any kind of like, well, maybe Otterville will find a way. You know, if you're losing that game that early, there might be some things going on. Otterville still working through. Spencerville's not working through anything, and this might be an easy night
now,
for Spencerville.
Here's the thing, though, guys. Remember, Friday night, Crestview and Spencerville tangling. That's going to be a huge game.
Right.
And you're going to watch Spencerville give a lot of energy in that game. And I always said as a coach, when I coached, the worst part about coaching was a double weekend, a Friday and a Saturday. Mm-hmm. But the worst part, before the worst part, is a double road game where you have to go somewhere on Saturday night. Fortunately, Spencerville's at home for that game. But still, I mean, look, as a coach, I wanted to win that conference game. That was where my focus was.
Right.
The only time we prepped for the Saturday night game was the Saturday morning walkthrough. Now, we had guys that were watching film, and we had guys getting ready for it, but you put all your energy into Friday night. So don't count Otterville out of that game.
I imagine your players, too, one of the things they dreaded was like Coach Holbrook on Friday night, Coach Holbrook on
Saturday
night.
How long did you coach?
A long time. Yeah,
too long.
My brother's a minister, so they got him on Sundays. So.
Oh, man, it was all Holbrook all the time.
Guys, game eight is probably the best game of the week because I'm in it. Darren Gilbert and myself, Ottawa Glandorf at Indian Lake. Look, we know about Ottawa Glandorf. Hey, they haven't got a win yet this year, which is really, really bizarre. They're 0-1. But then you look at Indian Lake. They haven't played a game yet because of the late football start. Mm-hmm. But this is a program. Last year, they were 19-6, 10-0 in the conference. Guys, they were really good last year, hence WSN going to catch them. It's a nice program, really is.
I saw Coach McLaughlin at the Spencerville game last week, and you could tell they lost their first game, right? You could tell. He wasn't his jovial self, right?
I saw him at the Kenton USV game.
I would not want to have been at those OG practices since they lost to Van Buren, right? Yeah. They have to be getting back to their roots of playing OG basketball. You brought up playing back-to-back nights. I don't like this for Indian Lake. right? You're going to have to go against that pressure for OG on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And you just played back-to-back nights, and you're not a real deep team. I like OG here.
You know, the thing with all this, though, is Ottawa-Glendorf, we're all so used to, you know, them winning, right? Because that's just what Ottawa-Glendorf does. It doesn't really matter what sport it is either. They just win, right? But they, you know, they lost a Division I player.
Once-in-a-lifetime type player.
Who is probably the best player that's ever came out of that program without really any argument from anybody, right? It's going to take some time to figure out how to move forward and how this team is going to look and the makeup and who's going to be running things now. Exactly. They lost to Van Buren. That's not a great loss for that Ottawa-Glendorf team. That's not an underrated
Van Buren team, though.
It is.
Yeah. They got that Costanza kid playing guard, the Van Buren boys.
But that's also.
I got you on that one.
Yeah,
I
you
got
did. You. However, that's. So.
I'm going to do a secret handshake.
So listen, not a great loss for Ottawa-Glendorf. And you, I'm sure that the program is frustrated with that loss. Now, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. You guys can tell me. They were supposed to play Bluffton. The basketball team was. Yeah. That game gets postponed because of Bluffton's tournament run. So now you have this extended layoff. Mm-hmm. So you go out, you know.
Well, they scrimmage Columbus Grove.
Okay. So they go out, though. They lose to Van Buren. That's not a game that they're used to losing. Mm-hmm. And now instead of being able to get back in the gym, work on some stuff, and get back out on the floor and play a game, because even you can play scrimmages all you want, Miles. Right. You know that are just not the same.
Absolutely.
Now you have this extended layoff again before you have to go, and now, all right, now we're going to get back, and now we're going to play an OG schedule. I mean, Indian Lake's on the schedule for a reason, right? They had a fantastic year last year, and this is an OG program that likes to challenge themselves. I don't know. I think this is a tough one for them. I think I like Indian Lake going into this one.
Okay, well, Indian Lake lost a lot. They lost a lot of players from that team last year.
You talked about guys that maybe step up. Grady Tomazos, remember him? Nice shooting guard. Maybe Brody Fortman, 6'3" kid.
I mean, they still have talent there, without a doubt. I think you just had a lot of guys who, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but you had a lot of Robins who were surrounding Batman, and now Batman's gone. So who's going to pick up and take that mantle?
Guys, I remember years ago, I was a young kid. There was and I know you know the name.
Wow, a long time ago.
Rex Chapman went to the University of Kentucky, and I was infatuated with Rex Chapman. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. And I watched an interview with his high school coach down in Kentucky, and he said, "What's your team like now that Rex is gone?" He said, "We're the young and the Rexless." You know, that's what Ottawa-Glendorf is right now.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a play on words.
Yeah.
The thing about Rex, though, is he could really steal.
You're awful. Colin White's doing yeoman's work in Columbus. We're ready to go. All right, guys, let's get your thoughts. We're going to change gears a little bit here. Talk about Coldwater Marion Local State Championships. Obviously, Marion Local wins 74-0 over Dromesville Hillsdale. Coldwater beats Kirtland, and I was just blown away by the score, 31-7. Your thoughts on both those state championship games?
Nate, why don't you go ahead and start with this one?
All right, so Marion Local, pretty good at football. Okay.
Are they?
Yeah, that's what we're hearing. For me, the biggest surprise, and I don't know why it was, it shouldn't have been, but it was that Coldwater game. I really thought that Kirtland would come in, and I thought they would win that game. I thought that Coldwater would struggle stopping that run game. We watched them struggle with that against Marion Local in their one loss this year. I thought Kirtland had a really rough week. That the weather that Northeast Ohio got just wreaked havoc on their practice. They missed two practices. Their other practices had to be indoors. So it wasn't a normal week for them. Now, it's week 16, 17 of the season.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't matter that much. But still, as a coach, you can't love your practice schedule and your routine getting that messed up prior to the biggest game of the season. Exactly. But Coldwater, fantastic job, like you mentioned. Losing that last game of the season, being able to bounce back, you know, from that Marion Local loss, not letting there be a hangover. They just run through the playoffs. They get a state championship. Very much deserved. And for Marion Local, listen, there's just nothing more impressive right now than the run that they are on. The guys who are seniors who just finished playing their last football game at Marion Local don't know what it's like to lose. All they've ever experienced is victories. That's incredible. I'm on the side of, I just want to see them continue to win at this point. Like, I hope they never lose again. I don't know why. Like, I'm infatuated with this win streak. I think it's absolutely fantastic. you know, this whole talk that's going around about, you know, oh, well, that 74-0 in the state title is ridiculous. We got to make a change. Let's bump them up. They win too much.
How about the other team
plays
too better.
Good?
Yeah, right.
The last time we had conversations like this, fellas, was also a MAC team. Yeah. Delphi St. John's, they win. They beat Shadyside 50-some to nothing. It's a blowout. Mm-hmm. And that's what started the whole, oh, we got to have private and public. We got, this is ridiculous. We got to split the tournaments up. And then eventually those conversations led to competitive balance that we're in right now. But what are you going to say here? Mary, it's a public and public. Well, there is no argument here other than now they win too much. They're too good. We got to move them up in
divisions. When people say that we should have a split, what they're really saying is we should split communities that care and communities that don't.
Well, let me just say this, guys. Chris Howe from the Lima News came into the radio show today, and he showed me
Best Hair in Media.
Best Hair in Media. And I don't know which school reached out to which, but Marion Local and Ironton
saw that.
Are in the talks right now to play next year. You want to talk about a game that I'll be at? Oh, my gosh. That is exactly what everybody wants. Yep. All the people crying about Marion Local, go play Ironton. Well, what happens if Marion Local smacks Ironton next year? What do you say then?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a powerhouse program, Ironton.
Yeah. So Marion Local puts a tweet out looking for a game in week one to challenge our kids, and Ironton tweets back, let's do this.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love that.
Yeah. So we had a chance to talk to Coach Goodwin. Danny was there with me too.
Yes.
You were there?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Okay. I actually did the interview.
And the thing that really stuck with me, I asked him, well, what's that feeling like when you get in the locker room when you're celebrating a state title? And he said, honestly, it's kind of sad. It is.
Yeah.
Because it's over.
It's over. It's over. Yep. Right? Right? And it is. And when we talked to Coach Otten right after that, you know, he kind of echoed that as well. Those are guys that just love being around high school kids and coaching, right? And now,
it's the process.
And now, it is. Yeah. And now that there's a huge void.
Yep. And it's funny that you guys say that. You know, I've been fortunate enough to, as a coach, to be a part of a state championship. And my memories of that season when we won a state title, and now we did it in track. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit smaller. You know, we spent a lot more time. It's not, you know, the large football teams. But my memories from that season was I have greater memories and more happiness when we won the regional title as a team than when we won the state title. Yeah. The bigger accomplishment, the bigger feeling, the best that we had was regional, because we still had another week together and we still went and we won a state title and we did a lot of great stuff. And those are all great memories. But you're right, going home after that was over with, when it's done and it's like,
it's over. Yeah.
This season, all these accomplishments, everything. Yeah. I got all these seniors not graduating. We've been it is kind of sad.
Yeah.
And I think that gets lost on a lot of people who've never been a part of it.
We've all coached, right? And Nate still coaches in
every sport.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Tiddlywinks over it there at senior. But my last year as a head football coach, I made 50 cents an hour.
Were worth it.
I finally, you know, we went back and, you know, tracked all the hours and with the stipend and all that, right? Yeah. 50 cents an hour. So when you have guys like Coach Goodwin and Coach Otten, like you're done collecting money at the end of the regular season for your coaching stipend, right? So all those extra weeks that you coach in the state final, you're coaching for free. So I've always said this to these communities that love football, right? Why not do something for the assistant coaches, for the head coaches, because their families lose them for six more weeks. Do something to make it worth their while. Say, hey, you made the playoffs. We're going to extend your stipend as long as you're in the playoffs. Do something for them that shows you that, look, we care about you. We love you. We appreciate that you took our team into the playoffs, because assistant coaches, they deserve that money as well, not just the head coach. Do something, communities. Make it worth those guys' while for taking those long extended runs in the playoffs.
Guys, let's talk about the college football playoffs. Big news this week, Ohio State, Tennessee. Was the committee right? Were they wrong? And who has the easiest path? I love your take on this, Miles.
Oh, boy. Please explain to me how Penn State has the easiest path of all of it.
No.
Please explain to me. Nate, what was the big Penn State win this year?
I think we're still waiting on
Illinois.
Still waiting on it.
Illinois, right? They finished with the exact same record as Ohio State, and Ohio State beat them. Yep. And now people will say, well, they lost to Oregon in the Big Ten title game. Who did we lose to, Danny?
Oregon.
We lost to Oregon as well, right? Yeah. So why does Penn State get this great path of SMU at home, and then they have to take on Boise State after that? that should be the path for the number one seed, Oregon, who I would say got screwed as well because they have to wait the winner of Tennessee and Ohio State. That's not an easy win in your first game as the number one seed.
Yeah. So my only
makes no sense.
Yeah.
To me.
So my only argument with you that is, you know, at the end of the day, if Ohio State beats Michigan, they don't beat Oregon, they're in that Penn State slot. You know, so that, you know, take care of business in the regular season. You know, and they would be in the exact same position Penn State is. So I'm not overly upset about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but if you compared Ohio State's schedule and Penn State's schedule, by far Ohio State's schedule was a lot tougher.
I don't disagree with you, but there's so many flaws in this playoff system. It's absurd. To me, the team with the easiest path is actually Georgia. They get the first round bye.
No quarterback.
Yeah. You didn't ask me about the makeup of their team. You asked me about what their path is.
Yeah, Carson back.
What's he done? All right.
That's great.
But as a team, regardless of, you know, obviously that changes the dynamic of that team. But as far as a team looking at their path,
yeah, I would
Georgia has, I think, yeah. has the easiest path through. Now, I'm not saying that they'll get through without Beck. I'm just saying if you're going to lose your quarterback and you have to look at all these teams, I'd much rather have Georgia's path to that national championship game than anybody else.
And Georgia got rewarded for going 7 overtimes mm-hmm. against Georgia Tech.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense also. Last thing, that Danny, before I let you go on here, because I really got to say this. There's a team that has a high seed that lost to Northern Illinois yep. and then has no quality win after that other than Texas A&M. What did Notre Dame do to deserve a high seed as well?
Well, that's part of the issue I have with the format that the automatic qualifiers. And again, I know I'm going to ruffle feathers, but you're telling me Indiana, Boise State, Penn State are going to be favored over Alabama? No chance. No. The committee did not put the best 12 teams in, and that's what we kept waiting for. But with the format and the automatic qualifiers, they're never going to do that. They're never going to do it. You're telling me you'd take Alabama on the money line Arizona State over Alabama? No.
None of you would.
You wouldn't take Indiana. You wouldn't take Boise. You wouldn't take SMU. I don't know that you'd take Texas. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'd take Texas.
Yeah. Maybe Texas, yeah.
Well, so. even with Boise State, everybody always points to, well, they only lost to Oregon by, you know, 7 in the beginning of the year. Name a quality win for Boise State after that, right? Why does the committee look at conferences like the Mountain West and say, well, that's the equal of the SEC or the Big Ten? If you're just going to rank them overall without admiring conference championships, where would Boise State even rank on that?
Well, there's a chance. There's a chance you could get an SMU Boise State semifinal.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Seriously, and no disrespect.
Ratings bonanza. Hey,
listen, if you guys want changes, that's the semifinal you're going to root for because there will be changes
he
in a
wrong.
Heartbeat.
He ain't wrong because when you get 7 people watching the game,
So that they got to figure out something. I think the biggest flaw, and you saw it weeks ago, was, you know, when Ohio State and Oregon were sitting at 1 and 2, and you know you could see it coming if it held. That these two teams are going to meet in a Big Ten championship game, and that loser was going to have to drop to 5 or 6. Well, they would still be the number 2 team in the country, but they're not going to get a bye. They're going to fall on seeding. Like, this path is going to be weird. Like, there was all of these flaws. The simplest thing to do is to reseed after your first round. You have to do. I don't know.
That's what the NFL does.
Yes, you need to reseed, and then you go. That's the fairest to those guys who win their conferences, right? If you're the number one team, why are you not playing the lowest seed in your first game? It's crazy that you then have to, you know, have to maybe have the hardest game you'll have the entire run. And, you know, you're talking right now. I just was reading an article earlier today where they're talking about that Ohio State path, which includes Oregon. That's the group of death.
That's why you can't pick the Buckeyes to win it all. There's no way.
No. Tennessee, well, Oregon, Texas, Georgia.
Right. Yeah.
That would be the greatest run in the history of college football. Yeah. And it takes me to my next point, Danny. We're all excited about next year opening Ohio State versus Texas. I think it's stupid. It's a terrible idea. Pay Texas to go away.
Just play another match.
Well, you saw Alabama's already said it. Their ADs already came out and said that we are going to reevaluate our entire schedule.
And I thought to myself, wow, when we get the 12-team playoff, we can have these big time matchups because people won't care about losing. Well, no, because the committee said you're not going to lose. We're not going to put you in.
Right. Yeah. And even SMU, they lost in the ACC title game, but they took care of them and put them in the tournament where they shouldn't be.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the Buckeyes' path to the final?
Well, I think you said it, right? Yeah. It is the toughest path.
There's no possible way.
I will say this, though, and they beat Tennessee, which I think they will. And you and I, by the way, we're going to be there. We're going to be there.
Did you guys? Oh, never mind.
Sorry, Nate. You can go. You can tailgate with us.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I'll save you a drink and maybe some nachos or something.
Great.
Yeah. What was great about that?
You can get a ticket.
So glad we're friends. This is so good.
What was great about that before it was announced on the radio that you got your son-in-law got you a ticket is Nate, right before that, said, who'd want to go to that? It's going to be cold.
He's not wrong.
It's going to be cold.
He's like, where are you going to watch? I'm like, it's going to be cold. No one wants to sit in that. It's like, wait.
Your buddies are going. I'll take a ticket.
All right, but when they beat Tennessee, I think they're going to beat Oregon. I really do, because Oregon's going to have a bye. You're going to have that, let's get them back factor. I think it'll be a momentum for Ohio State.
We're losing the Rose Bowl to Oregon.
No. Right. So I think they beat Oregon. And then if you beat Oregon, boy, you just never know what's going to happen after that. You get that momentum. We saw it with Ohio State back in 2014, where momentum was an absolute huge thing. It is a tough path. I don't think they're going
to
win.
I'll just say this. If they lose to Oregon, they won't win the national title.
Nope.
Hot take. You know, I don't disagree with you guys, and I think at the end of the day, their path is a very difficult one. But here's the deal. We've been told for months.
Greatest team ever.
Right?
Money can buy.
Okay. Show us, because your regular season didn't. So show us now. You have a chance to redeem yourself.
Let me ask you.
You have to do this if you're going to try to claim, and you still want NIL money coming in, and Ryan Day still wants a job, all these things. You have to go out and play for a national title.
Let me ask you guys this on a serious question. With all the talent they have, and I think we would all agree, the talent has been great at Ohio State. The offensive line's been a little shaky. We get it. Do they win the Big Ten if they are coached by someone else?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so. Ryan Day's appointment has not been up to the task.
I think you could make an argument. Yeah. I really do.
Now, I think if you're asking me who that would be, I think
I'm not asking that.
I don't think that Ryan Day is a bad coach. He's won a lot of games, but for some reason there is something about Ryan Day when it comes to big games. I think he outthinks the room.
He
panics, and I think you saw it at the end of that Michigan game. He just didn't know what to do.
Clearly.
You need a coach who knows how to handle big time games. To me, that's Urban Meyer.
Hey, North Carolina hired Bill Belichick today, and when they hired him, I said, oh man, I bet he would have been good at Ohio State.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you right now, if word comes out of Morgantown and they take Brian Hartline, that is a massive loss. He interviewed for the head coaching job. I'm telling you, that is a massive loss.
I don't think he's ready to be a head football coach. I'd be surprised if he gets it.
I 100% agree with you. 100% agree with you. But the fact that he's looking makes me wonder.
He wants to be a head coach.
You know, there is one matchup for this Ohio State team, if you look through and they win, that I think would be a lot of fun with a lot of backstory and a lot of things. And it's a potential Ohio State-Texas game.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine Ohio State going against Quinn Ewers and all the stuff and how that all – like, to me, that's a fascinating matchup. I would like to see that one. Now, there's a lot of games Ohio State's going to win before then, but I do think that would be a fun game.
If they played Texas, it would be kind of cool. Like, whoever loses that one, that first game next year, Texas and Ohio State again, that would be, you know, a huge war. Quinn Ewers does not scare me as much as he did earlier. Because when they played Georgia, when they got him off the spot and he moves in the pocket, not nearly the same quarterback. Not a good quarterback.
He's not afraid to make that change, though. He's done it in the last couple games. Mm-hmm. He's brought in Arch Manning, and you see the difference.
I just think it'd be fun to watch a game where to be the quarterback we should have against the quarterback we've been stuck with.
All right, guys.
I took a long way to get there, but I got there, fellas. I got there.
We talked about the changes we want to see next year from the CFP. Who wins it all?
Who wins it all? I'm going to go with Texas.
100% agree with you. Yeah. 100% agree with you. I just think their path and when their makeup of their team. I like Steve Sarkisian.
The path helps.
Yeah, the path helps a ton. And if, like I said, if Quinn Ewers goes down, Arch Manning, solid backup.
Yeah, I mean, if Georgia has a healthy quarterback in Beck, it would have been Georgia.
So Georgia doesn't scare me as much as Texas does.
You know what? I'm gonna say Oregon. Say Oregon. Everybody tells us Oregon's the number one team in the country. They've been good. They've done all these things. Okay. Let's find out.
I thought Penn State, and I would not say Penn State is a dynamic offense. I thought Penn State really exposed what Oregon does defensively. I think Dillon Gabriel is going to have to be absolutely outstanding every single time that they play in this tournament, because if he's this average, I think they lose.
How crazy is the shoe going to be December 21st? I mean, we'll know.
Well, I'll call and ask you guys.
You should call us and we'll let you know. But make sure we can hear you, because it's going to be loud.
I don't know. Danny. Scarlet
out.
I know, but is it going to be crazy, though? I think a lot of fans will probably be like, it's going to be cold. There's a lot of people in orange coming up. Let me sell my ticket to them, maybe. Or they're going to look at it like you and I are. It's a win-win night for us, right? We win the game. Yes, we're in the tournament still. We lose the game. Yes, we fire Ryan Day. It's win-win, baby.
Not firing Ryan Day. All right, guys. Let's switch gears again. We keep bouncing back. Football, bing, basketball, bing. Bounce. Let's go to basketball. Who has the best backcourt in all of
Wyoming? Danny, why don't you start on this one?
I'm going to start, and I'm going to go with the law firm of Sensabaugh and Sensabaugh. I love those two. Owen, absolutely spot-up shooter, knock down anything, will get to the rim. I just like their athleticism. I like the fact that their dad coaches them. I like the fact that they've played in such big games. They're only a junior and a sophomore.
Yeah, I mean,
it is crazy the number of big games they played in, mm-hmm. and the fact that they have another year with Will and then two more years with Owen, or excuse me, opposite, a sophomore,
yeah.
junior. I'm taking nothing away from Cam Elwer. I'm taking nothing away from those guys. I'm taking nothing away from Lima Senior, because I'm talking about all the schools around here. Mm-hmm. I just like what the Sensabaughs do, and I like how they do it.
Yeah. Nate, what about you?
So I think the most impressive thing when I sat down and thought about this is I came up with three, right? And then when you look at
it. I think it's impressive that you sat down and thought.
Well, it took me a minute. It took me a minute, but I got it going. It's think of these backcourts and, you know, how special it is sometimes when we run against programs that have, you know, families and like the Sensabaughs and, you know, they're like, oh, you know, they get to play together and then they both are good and, you know, like, wow, that's even rare too. And that's, we have three families right now that are, in my mind, are the top three backcourts in this area. You have the Fosters with Willie and Sean over at Lima Senior. You have the Elwers with Cam and Andrew over at Delphi St. John's. And then you have Will and Owen Sensabaugh over in Spencerville. It is crazy that is what we have in this area and the talent that is there. Of those three, Andrew Elwer's really coming on. And he, you know, I didn't think that he would be already being able to do some of the things that he is doing. I thought he'd just be a complimentary. I mean, he's scoring 14, 15, 16 right. points a night, going along with Cam Elwer scoring 30 plus. That Delphi St. John's backcourt right now, they can shoot, they can drive. I think I'm going to go with Delphi St. John's.
Let me ask you this. If the Berkey brothers were under 6 foot, would you go with them?
Well, that's the other part, right? Because and it's kind of weird with the Berkey brothers. We're talking about backcourt, right?
So yeah, right.
But guards. Even though those guys are 6'8", 6'9", they do kind of run that backcourt as well. So then, you know, if you want to throw that family, that's four families. I mean, it's crazy that all these families all have these guys that are so good at the same time. But, I mean, I get a chance to see – you know, Willie and Sean a lot up close over at Lima Senior. My time over there, they're really good too. I think they've played a lot of basketball together. I think they're going to need a little bit more time on the floor together, only because obviously they haven't been together as long as these other backcourts, with Willie transferring over to Lima Senior this year. They've done the AAU thing, but AAU and high school are just different. They're going to need a little bit more time. So I think that they can be, and they maybe will be by the end of the year. But I think right now, if I had to pick one, it's super close between the Sensabaughs and the Elwers, but I think I would hedge right now with the Elwers.
Let's have him break the tie.
It's too bad that we don't have like a backcourt tournament, right?
Right.
It'd be a lot of fun. We kind of did a first round matchup last week with Elida because they have a fantastic
backcourt.
Forgot about those guys.
Amari Wash and Zori Island. I saw those two when they were little pups. I remember when Defiance was really good a couple years ago, mm-hmm. just locked those guys up, and I'm like, man, these guys are fantastic. But sadly, if they're tournament is going on, they got eliminated last week by the Sensabaughs, the Sensiballs were just so impressive last week, handling just anything that Elida threw at them. Will Sensiball, Owen, just fantastic. I keep going back to Will wanting the basketball at the end of that basketball game, just a sophomore.
He's unbelievable.
And, you know, he knows he's going to have to go shoot those pressure free throws.
He wants to.
And he wanted it. Yeah. And the ball was a magnet to him. Those are the special moments that you see guys make that step forward, like, oh, this guy is really legit. So, Danny, I am in your camp.
There we go.
Camp Sensiball, best backcourt in Lima
making
Land.
S'mores later. Guys, who's your Stolly superstar of the week?
Miles, oh, this here is going to shock you. Sensiball. 29 points against Elida. Got to interview him after the basketball game, and very complimentary of his teammates. You know, and you could not get him to say anything about I or me. He was all about his teammates. A very impressive young man.
Yeah, for me, it's Cam Elwer. His scoring prowess over the last week or so has just been fantastic. We talked about it earlier. He's gone 30, 24, and 41 in their three games over the last 7 days or so. Fantastic. He's had a great week. He's picked up right where he's left off, even coming off of that injury. He's only going to continue to get better scarily. So, yeah, for me, it's been Cam.
My superstars of the week is about 50 of them. And they all wear orange and black. And what they did for their teammate this week was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The Coldwater Cavaliers.
Yep.
They won
the
state championship for a young man that lost his life way too early. And that community and that coaching staff. And I was so impressed to get a talk. Miles and I talked to Chip Otten the other night. That was so fun. What a great guy.
I love
and,
Chip Otten.
Yeah. And that community, I did not expect them to win. And I'm listening to that game and I'm like, man, they got a chance. Well, then they just start pounding Kirtland.
Right.
And you got to believe Tiger Laverde over in Kirtland's going, what I got to do with the MAC schools? That's why I play them every year. Very local for sales. You know,
you can't move divisions, you find them.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So for me, my superstars of the week, Coldwater Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm. Nice job.
Welcome back to the Three Wise Men here on WOSN. Being joined by two outstanding athletes, had a fantastic season out on the football field. And, Miles, we had a chance to talk with Parker a while back now. It's been a couple of weeks since we had you in. First time that we've had Amari Wash on with us. Excited to have you guys here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, Parker Krim, our defensive player of the year, the three wise men, we selected you, and Amari Wash. Who else could it be, right?
Exactly.
Special teams player of the year. Amari, we'll start with you, man. Were you just excited every time someone kicked you the football? Because I was excited every time someone kicked you a football.
To me, it was just like when you get a ball in the air, like this is like background football, you know, back in the backyard, playing again, find open lane and go score.
Yeah, that was Miles all season long. Just kept every time we would talk about it after one of your guys' games, we'd be like, why do they ever kick to Amari? Like, why are they continuing to kick the ball to Amari Wash? And eventually it seems like some of the teams kind of wised up and they stopped doing exactly that. But, you know, not before you had done a whole lot of damage. And you were all over offensive, defensive, special teams. You had a fantastic all-around year. Ended up in first team selection, WBL as well. I mean, what – this season, the record-wise, I know, was a bit of a disappointment as a team. But when the season ends and the team doesn't have the success that you hope for and you got a chance to kind of look back and see what positives you could take out of it, you know, what did it mean winning some of these individual accolades?
It felt really good to know that the work I put in the summer really paid off with the team. I know it's tough, but I know we have a lot of guys coming back next year, so I know next year will be really different.
You said backyard football. Is that kind of like your philosophy in the return game? I know coaches like to set up returns, but are you one of those guys that just kind of catches it and then sees a little bit of crease and know you have the quickness to get it?
Actually, yeah. It really is like that.
Yeah. You know, Parker, for you, you spent – actually, this applies to you too, a lot, Amari, but you guys spent most of your year – being double team, triple team, focal points of offenses and defenses, you know, but especially on the line against you, Parker, going into every single game, every coach, every team seemed to be like, all right, we have to know where Parker Krim is. We're going to run away from him. I mean, after the Salina game, they didn't even try to shy about it, right? Like they said, they got out on the media and were like, well, we just figured out where he was and we went the opposite direction. But you still managed to be such a disruptor all year long. You know, what was like that like from week one to week 10? And even, when you know every week going in, you're going to be the focal point. You're going to have all this added pressure. You're going to see 2-3 guys coming at you. But knowing that I'm still going to win these matchups.
It's just like when they double, triple team you, you just have to work hard to get those double teams to beat them, those people, and give those tackles is really, that's all to it, all it is to it.
You know, for both of you, really, how frustrating is that? Knowing what you're capable of doing and knowing your skill sets and knowing what you can do, if you could just get a little bit of space every now and then, but constantly having to go against two and three defenders.
You can take this one.
It makes me mad sometimes, but then it's like, I mean, I put the work in to, I mean, it's showing me like, oh, yeah, this work is working, so... But it's also like, I know this guy, that guy can't guard me, even if it's two of them. I'm going to just make them both look silly on the video. So I don't mind it. They could keep doing it next year, too. I wouldn't mind it.
Now, other than just not flat out kicking you to football, what are some things that teams tried to do to limit your ability to return?
Some teams would try to pin it on the sideline. Some would actually squib kick it or try to onside kick it, like Shelby did in the first playoff game. They wouldn't send it back my way. So next year, hopefully, we put in a few things that hopefully guys could just throw it back to me and I just go get it and score.
You're one of those guys that just loves to have the ball in your hands, yes. Right? If it's been like maybe a series or so and you haven't had the football as much as you want, do you go up to coach and say, hey, I think the jet sweep would work here. Do you suggest things to coach?
I tell them sometimes what I see can be open for not just me, the team, right. But sometimes I get mad, but then I know, like, we actually got some guys who can make plays.
Yes. Yeah.
We just got to get their confidence there to the point where teams can't double-team me and everybody opens and we can flow as a team, like, towards the end of the season with St. Mary's. So it gets really simple once we can open things up. That's what our coaches try to do.
Now, part of that, though, is having the ability to move you to different spots so people can't double-team you, right? How difficult is that as a player, having to learn so many different spots?
Well, since my freshman year, I've been behind a lot of seniors to actually look at and see them learn each of their positions, like, such as our own graduate that went to Finley, David Escorn. He played the position I played. Yeah. And watching him, like, once I get my opportunity, I know I'm going to show out because I watched him play these positions at the way he played it. So it was really easy when I got the opportunity.
That's a good one to look up to. He was a heck of a football
Absolutely.
Player.
Absolutely. You know, not a lot of people have experienced being back on a kickoff and, you know, being a kick returner. At what point when you get that ball and you see everybody coming at you, are you like, I got this. I know that lane's there, that little bit of space. I mean, what's that like? When do you know I'm taking this one to the house?
It's more like, it's not really just on me. It's really on the guys that were blocking for me. Like, I might make 2-3 guys miss, but it's the other guys blocking the other 11 trying to give me a lane to look at, so... Once I see it, I know, I think I'm pretty fast.
You are fast. You're not pretty fast. You are fast.
So when I see that lane, I just, next thing you know, is this kicker going to actually tackle me?
And
I
can't let
that happen.
No. Now, last time we had Parker on the show, he said he was faster than you. Is that true?
That is not true.
That is not true. Maybe bench more, but he's not outrunning you, right? No. Parker, I was watching the Steelers and Browns last week, and I saw Myles Garrett. They moved him in the middle of the field, and he pass rushed from the middle, and they moved him in different spots. Is that something that maybe you'd want to do next year on third downs, maybe so offensive line don't know where you're at? Is that something that they could maybe add as a wrinkle?
Yeah, Coach Rondell already got a game plan for that. He's going to move me all around the field just so that they can't double team me as much, but we all know that they're going to still try to.
Nice.
So,
like, and in that game, there's two great pass rushers, right? Myles Garrett and, of course, T.J. Watt, the best pass rusher in football. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, okay.
Let's keep going. And I was thinking, and I thought about you, I'm like, I wonder if there's a guy in the NFL that you try to watch and emulate, or some guys in the NFL that you say, hey, I like how he rips there, or you try to steal a move from?
It's definitely either T.J. Watt, and when he was in the league, Aaron Donald, I used to study a lot. Nice. I used to watch his film almost every day just to see how his feet are and his hands are and his hips are. And it's a beautiful watch, honestly.
Yeah, it sure is. What do you like about T.J. Watt's game?
The way he gets low, the way he uses leverage all the time, it's just beautiful. It's beautiful to watch how fast he is off the line. as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Amari, for you, kind of the same question for you. Who is it that you kind of look at and emulate, whether it's college, NFL, you know, somebody that has a lot of the same skill sets and somebody that you think that you can kind of model your game after?
It's really two people. One, the Heisman Trophy winner, in my opinion, Travis Hunter, just because he plays both sides. He plays both sides of the ball, and I really like, I've been playing both sides of the ball my whole life, so that's all I like. How do you stay in condition to do that and not want to take a break?
Yeah, he hardly ever comes off the field. Yeah. It's impressive for sure.
112 snaps.
And then NFL, I really like Stephon Diggs. I really watch him a lot, just the way his releases and how, even if he would get double teamed or anything, he would like, what I try to do is dip my shoulder where a guy try to press me, then I got to make another guy miss. So I learned that from my trainers this summer that it really works, and watching Stephon Diggs really helped.
Now, I saw you roll your eyes when he said Hunter's going to win the Heisman. Who's going to win a Heisman, Parker?
Ashton Gentry.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. What do you think,
Nate? Pick. Actually, I think the two top two are both these guys. I think it's Travis Hunter or Gentry. I think it comes down to, are they wanting to vote on a popularity contest? Because if so,
that's,
I think Travis Hunter's going to win it.
Yeah.
But if they're going off of stats and ability and just the football eye, I think it'll be Gentry.
Yeah, that's a good argument for both there, right? Parker, we talked to you last time about your aspirations of playing college. Amari, what were you thinking about? Do you want to play college football? Where are you trying to get?
I don't really have a goal where to get to. I want to play, want to make it to the next level, but I'm just still waiting for the opportunity for a coach to give me a call or let me know.
Has anybody reached out to you yet?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay. Still a junior.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's a lot of time there. Are you going to any camps or anything this summer for that?
I'm going to many. You know, I went to about, I think, 13 camps last year.
Okay.
So hopefully go to a few big ones, like some big D1 schools like Tennessee or anything, and Georgia.
You're going to tell everybody about him, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I bet. Right?
I was going to put in a good word.
That's the thing with the, you know, we're seeing it locally, and I think Amari's a great example of the effect that the transfer portal is having.
Oh.
It's a trickle-down, not just college. It's coming all the way into high school, because recruitment slows down for a lot of kids now, because now they have to see, okay, who's in the portal. Teams aren't filling out their rosters now in, you know, September and October, like we're used to seeing. They're waiting through the portal. They get through the bowl games. Okay, who do they add? And then they look at their rosters in, you know, May. And then they they start looking. So I'm sure it can be frustrating. And, you know, went through a little bit with my own son going through his recruiting as well. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely feel you. But the skill level that you put out and the tape that you have, coaches aren't going to – they're not going to sleep on that. You're going to end up getting a lot of looks before it's all said and done.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. Now, Parker, last time we had you on, you said Notre Dame was the dream school. Still Notre Dame?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got to move them off of that. Think Columbus more. Amari, if you had an opportunity to say, I want to go to this school, what's the one school you'd want to go to?
Alabama.
I was about to write it down. I already knew the answer to this one.
Three times this year. Why would you want to go there?
Well, because once he gets there, they're only going to lose once.
Are they in the playoff, Nate?
Well, that's a whole other conversation. They should be.
Roll Tide.
All right, boys. You guys just finished up football not too long ago, and you had to jump into basketball right away. Tell us, how tough is that transition that quickly to make?
You can take this one.
It can be tough on our body, but I think me and Parker both have a mindset. If we put our minds to anything, we can go do it. I think we're both great athletes where we could go play tennis, soccer, and tomorrow.
You guys play tennis. Could you imagine Parker at the net? Let's think about play pickleball.
As soon as he hits it, I'm dodging it. There's no chance I'm going to risk being standing in front of the tennis ball he hits. No way.
But I think if we play any sport tomorrow, I think we'd be great at it. But we also would still put the work in and practice to want to go out there and still be our best in the sport we're playing.
Your schedule in basketball at the beginning of this year.
Brutal.
It is very tough. I've already had you guys in two games. I'm impressed with how hard you guys are playing. The schedule's been tough. Coach Howard and the whole atmosphere doing a good job of keeping you guys playing hard. How tough has this beginning of the schedule been for you guys?
You want this?
You can take it.
All right. It's tough, but we want to Coach has been great of keeping us poised. Don't let – if we lose, don't let these losses hit us hard. And just the season – we got a lot more season left, and I think we're starting to build on chemistry a lot, so – We're going to start winning starting this week, and after that, we're going to keep winning.
Yeah, because the WBL is winnable, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that should be a goal.
We just got to keep working.
Well, and how's the start been for you? You know, I've had, Parker, I've had a couple of your games as well, been able to see you play. And, you know, Mari, you know, the beginning of the season, I think the start that you've had, you can tell the growth that you've made as an athlete. I think it's very different than – you're a very different style player now than we saw you last year, and I think that's really going to help this program. Parker, a little bit off to a little bit of a slow start, I'm sure not having the results that you would like. Mm-hmm. But it's also, you know, you're almost a product of your own size and strength. It's only, you know, it's one of those things where you're fighting because everybody's coming at you. You're taking a ton of contact on the inside. You know, officials, you know, normal contact that a player might do underneath, they hit you and they go flying 10 feet and it draws a whistle, or maybe it wouldn't before. Yeah. What's this start been like for you?
It's been a rocky start for me, but I know if I just keep working and do what's best for my team, that everything's just going to fall into place. So I just want to do what I can on and off the court to make our team better.
Yeah, I made the joke in one of our broadcasts that it's kind of unfair. He walks into the gym with two fouls already, right? Because someone bounces off of him, yeah. And he didn't do anything. He just stood there, and the referee's going to call it because that's just kind of like human nature, right? They see a big guy hit a little guy, and a little guy, oh, well, there's a foul, right? Yes, and I argued, well, that's not really a foul. He's just a big, strong young man.
Well, and you understood. If you watched the broadcast of during the tip-off classic, it was your guys' second game. It was you and Bath. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. I'm not sure if you saw it either, but we had a camera that was right underneath the did you see this?
We talked about it in practice.
and Parker goes chasing a basketball that's going out of bounds, and this him coming towards that camera, filling up the whole I watched the replay, and I'm like, well, no, everybody should move. I don't know. Just give him the ball, let him run down the middle. No one's going to stand in front of that. It was the scariest thing I'd ever seen.
Well, that is a good point that you bring up, because we asked you before, has there been talk in the football program putting the ball in your hands a little bit? And you said that last time, not so much. Maybe that changes next year. What do you think?
I really don't think so, honestly.
I'm thinking the man the rock.
I'm going to leave that to this man right here.
Some goal line touches down there, right?
Get
Amari going one way on the fake pitch. Yes. Just get it off to, get the whole defense.
How about Amari running the option with the full
there
back?
There you go.
What do you think?
I like it.
But Charmin's going to listen to like, you two shut up.
He's not going to let them talk to us anymore.
I'm going to ask him that next time I see him.
Coach Fullback, what do you think?
You know, well, guys, it was a fantastic season. I mean, I like I said, we know that the team maybe didn't have the type of success that you guys were looking for, but you guys anchored that team and led them to a lot of great games, a lot of great performances. And, you know, a lot of people recognize the challenges that you faced with going up against defenses and offenses that were, hey, this is the focal point. We got to stop these two guys. And you still found a way to get it done. It was very impressive to watch. And that's what led us to, you know, to be – it was a pretty easy decision, to be honest with you.
There
wasn't a lot of things that we agreed on when we came to these end of the year. But both of you guys as defensive player of the year and specialist of the year, that was an easy, unanimous choice by us. So congratulations, boys. It was a fantastic season.
Thank you so much.
A lot of fun to cover you guys. Guys, and we wish you nothing but success in basketball moving forward the rest of the year. And next fall, man, we can't wait to see what you guys do as seniors.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully we're back here giving you the same plaque next year.
Absolutely.
I got to get offense next year.
I like it. Fellas, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.